posted on our YouTube channel. I think yesterday there was a giant comment with all this very lovely advice about how to correct our sound and how we need like a producer behind the scenes that's loading our clips for us and getting our content, and how there should never be dogs in the background because of how unprofessional it is. And like, it was just so, it was so like, aww.
That's so sweet. Don't they know who we are? They know who we are, right?
I know. And like, so many of our people responded and they were like, don't you know who they are? The dogs are part of the charm. Like, we would miss the dogs if they didn't show up in the frame.
Like, it's Astrid and Cash, Ella and Maisie. They're part of the show, man.
They're part of the show.
Uh-huh. Right.
And anyway, we know we are unprofessional. Like, this is not news
totally to
us. So anyway, but thank you very much. Before we get to the news about Kamala's new assignment, we have to mention that it is still a really good idea for you guys to check out presidentialelectionproject.com. And the reason that you want to get signed up for all of their updates is because they are working really hard on pushing Congress to do legislation that's going to reform the Electoral College Act. Like the way that the votes are counted, the Electoral Count Act, they're trying to make revisions to that because of how completely vague and like super ambiguous it is. They really want to clearly define what Kamala's role will be in the 2024 election. And I think we can all agree that her role should be very defined. There should not be any ambiguity. You know what I'm saying?
It should be very defined and very small is what it should be.
Right.
Just very, very small.
Very, very small, very defined. There should be total clarity around it. And that is what this group is working on. PresidentialElectionProject.com. You can visit the website. It lays out exactly what they're trying to do and why it's so important. And you can get signed up for their email updates. So I highly encourage you to do that.
I was going to promote our website launch. It's awesome.
Yes.
You guys should check out our website, chicksonright.com. It's completely adorable.
It looks so good.
In every way. You should totally go check it out. It's been a labor of love. We're very excited about it. If you haven't checked it out yet this week, you should, because we launched this week and we're super excited about it. And we're glad to have you guys as part of it. So go check it out, chicksonright.com. Okay.
Please, please do.
And bookmark it. Bookmark it.
Yes. Yeah. Make it a favorite. Let's talk about Kamala and her new role. As you know, she is the czar of the border. And as you know, she's done a bang up job on it, right? Am I right?
Yeah, but by bang up, you mean it's just crappy. Like no job at all. There's just been nothing done at all. Right.
Nothing whatsoever. Not a damn thing. Well, I guess she's got herself a new gig. She has been assigned to chair a whole new task force, and it sounds an awful lot like the Disinformation Governance Board that was just axed. But Karine Jean-Pierre was asked about whether or not it's like that. She was not helpful. I have a video clip to show you of Sean Hannity explaining this new role and then also showing that Karine Jean-Pierre clip. So it's like all inclusive in this one little clip. Watch.
Help us. All right. Now, despite not yet completing any of her other jobs, you know, securing the southern border, the White House is now giving the vice president more responsibilities, now heading up something called an online policy task force, whatever the hell that means. Now, you might be wondering what exactly that task force will do. Well, at this point, it seems to be anybody's guess. Even the White House press secretary doesn't appear to know. Take a look.
On the online policy task force that the vice president's leading, that's getting kicked off today. On a background call last night, we were told that it's going to be different from the Disinformation Governance Board in that it's going to focus on illegal conduct online. But the memo creating it was a little bit broader and mentioned, and I'm quoting from the document, quote, online harassment, abuse, and disinformation campaigns targeting women and LGBTQI plus individuals who are public and political figures. Could you clear up the disinformation charge?
So I would need to talk to her team. I was not on the background call. So that specific language that you're providing to me, I would just have to check in with her.
In other words, I don't know a thing about it either. Here was reaction, former president.
I was just like, God, I may need to like communicate, since I'm on a communications team, I may need to actually do some communicating to get the communications. Good Lord. Do these people know how to do their jobs? The answer is no.
No, they do not.
What does she do? What does this chick do? I don't know. Do you guys know she's a lesbian and she's right. Black and also
super
an immigrant.
Important.
I don't know if you knew that or not.
Those are what makes her eminently qualified for the role that she is in. It's not the communicating or the press secretarying.
No.
Okay, I saw a lot of people earlier in the week saying, hey, you guys need to talk about Myra Flores, who just flipped a seat there in Texas that hasn't been Republican in like 100 years. And now is a Republican Latina who has flipped that seat. She decided to weigh in on her thoughts on Kamala. And I thought that she expressed it very, very well. Take a listen.
Earlier this morning, we had a chance to talk with Republican Myra Flores. She was just elected to U.S. Congress here in the Rio Grande Valley in a predominantly Hispanic area, in a seat that just flipped Republican, the Democrats had been holding for over 100 years. Here's what she had to say about Vice President Kamala Harris and her comments last year that extreme progress was being made here at the southern border. Take a listen.
She's honestly useless. I don't know why she's in that position. She hasn't been here in South Texas to see what their policies are creating, the mess that they're creating in our country, and that their policies are hurting real people.
That's right. Yeah,
it's useless.
I totally love her. You know, her opponent is this dude who is just like thinking, you know, he's probably going to just skate on into that position, right? This is the thing, is that Democrats think, oh, you know, I've got it, it's in the bag. And then he's whining and complaining when he didn't win. He's like, well, the DCCC didn't help me. Yeah, it didn't help me. No, dude, this is what happened. You got creamed, you got beat because your policies, the Democrat policies suck and your people suck. And Hispanics are waking up. Hispanics are actually realizing that Republicans / conservatives are the ones who represent them. That's what's happening in Texas. It's happening all over the state. That's what we are seeing that here, all over the state. Hispanics are like, oh, wait, conservatives represent me. It's not these loser Democrats. And this is what's gonna happen. This is a sign of what's to come. And I am so excited about it. I really, truly believe that, Mock. It's what we're here. I mean, I actually talk to people here in Texas politics, and I truly believe that is happening all over, just little towns here. I mean, because it's the truth. Hispanics actually, they don't believe in Democrat policies. They don't. They have been lied to by Democrats. I mean, I think a lot of these people think, oh, Democrats, you know, represent me. But then when they actually start talking to conservatives, because conservatives have done a piss poor job of reaching out to these communities. And now they're starting to do that. And now they're starting to wake up, and I say wake up, but Democrats or Hispanics that have primarily or historically been Democrat in the past are starting to wake up and go, wait a second. You know, I am pro-life and I am, you know, for small business and I am for limited government and I am for personal responsibility. And I am for all these things that we are for, they are for. And so they're like, wait a second, I'm conservative, you know?
Who knew?
So who knew? Yeah, and it really was more of a communication problem than it's been anything else. And so I hope that trickles into other areas, other states across the country, and into other demographics too. I mean, I hope that that's the case.
We have to hope because it's definitely a hugely positive sign, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that everything is just going down the toilet. I know Biden did, it wasn't televised, but like you can read the entire transcript of an interview that he just did with the AP. And he's so in over his head. It's just incredible. Like he's talking about the fact that he is optimistic that we're not going to be in a recession. I just talked to our financial planner yesterday. We are actually in a recession already if you go by the definition of two quarters without a certain level of growth. We've already had that. So
right.
We are technically already in a recession that the president of the United States is saying, oh yeah, we don't have to worry about being in a recession. I've got us in great shape. No, you don't. You idiot. You don't have us in great shape. We're in the worst shape ever on like multiple fronts. I mean, it's just crazy to me.
I think I trust the economics dude rather than trust Biden, who's never who's never had a real job in his whole life, you know?
And, you know, speaking of my financial planner, one thing that I'm always told is that it is important to diversify your financial portfolio. Don't have all your eggs in one basket, right? And a really good way to diversify is with gold. And if you're interested in gold, and not just like the intangible, like in your IRA kind of gold, I'm talking like actual physical gold you can hold. We get ours from Acre Gold because of their layaway system where you can subscribe and pay monthly and earn as you go. And then they send it to you in the mail and you actually get to hang on to it. It's just a really good way to hedge against inflation, kind of have something balancing out the crazy market right now. And if you're interested, you can check out all the information, all the details about how you can subscribe at getacregold.com/.
And you guys, make sure that you are checking out our insiders and our locals folks, chicksontheright.locals.com. I know that Mock put up some interesting content over the past week. I know she put something up today. Didn't you put something up today?
I did.
Some cool stuff. And then I added yesterday, I put out our newest family member. And you guys can't see me from the waist down here, so you have no idea what's going on. When I say newest family member, you don't know what's going on.
You don't know what that means.
You don't know.
But if you were an insider or a supporter.
That's right. That's right. Uh-huh. Yeah. So make sure that you're checking that out. Yeah, totally.
That's right. Okay. Yes. Was it yesterday that I played that ridiculous clip of KJP in the press conference having no clue what the update was on baby formula? Was that yesterday?
I'm pretty sure it was yesterday. I think. I don't know. You're asking the wrong person.
You guys. It was so bad. Like she was flipping and then there was like this horrible pregnant pause where she was like, I will have to get back to you on that.
Yeah. She just did not know. She did not know.
It's not getting any better. It's just not getting any better. She was asked about it again yesterday. Watch.
30-day assessment that he had said at the end of May. I mean, can you put a time frame on this now? Are families going to be scrambling the entire summer?
I don't have a timeline for you on this, but what I can say is we're doing everything that we can from here to make sure that we get healthy baby formula for American families. We know how hard this is at this time. We know how difficult it is, but we have up production, as I just laid out, working with these different manufacturers. We have brought baby formula overseas. We just had a seventh Operation Fly Formula mission just yesterday. So this has been a priority for this president.
It's painful how terrible she is. Like it just keeps getting worse. And for some reason, she has decided that the best way to answer questions is to continue to say that this administration understands. We feel the pain. We're doing everything we can. None of that makes anyone feel any level of confidence about their actions, their ability to solve problems. None of it.
Well, it doesn't for us, but I mean, I'm assuming that there are some people out there that are like, oh, it's just so empathetic. Like take the empathy route with people. You know, the LOFOs may like that. They may, because there are people out there who are all about the feels. And those are the people who, I mean, seriously, because there's a fraction of people, right? I mean, there's a large amount of people who voted for Biden based on the fact that they didn't want to have to deal with Donald Trump's tweet, right? Because it hurt their feel bad. And so there's a tinier fraction of people who do everything based on their feels. And so they probably are like, okay, well, that makes me feel better when they tell me that they feel bad for
they
me.
Care. I mean, they care about my pain.
I mean, screw that. It took 96 to fill up my gas tank yesterday. I don't give a crap if you feel bad for me. I want you to change it. Make it better. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm all about the practicality. I don't care if you feel bad for me. It's like, change it.
Yeah.
Fix it.
Well, and it's funny, you know, because our son just started driving, like he just got his license last week. And so we were telling him that he has a savings account that he has put every Christmas card, you know, $20 bill in that he's gotten since he was a baby, right? So he's got like a savings account with all the money that he's ever gotten for every occasion in his 16 years of life. We have figured out that that money will be gone after 10 fill-ups of his car.
Wow.
That's it. There, that depletes his entire savings account from 0 years old to 16 years old. He can fill his car 10 times. So we're going to be, you know, obviously he doesn't have the time because of sports and stuff to have a job, but we're going to be like figuring out what projects can we pay him to do around the house just so he can drive. That's how bad it is. It's ridiculous.
It's nuts. It's crazy.
And then KJP has the audacity, when faced with another question from a reporter about the state of our economy, they keep insisting, what do they call it? Steady and stable growth. That's how they're describing the economy. So she was called out on that yesterday, and here's how that went.
So the Federal Reserve is predicting that GDP growth for the next 2 years will be 1.7%, under 2%, under 2% for the next 3 years. So is this what the president considers stable and steady growth?
What I can tell you is that we believe that we are in a transition right now, coming out of a economic recovery, a historic economic recovery, because of the work that the president has done this past year and a half. And so we believe that we'll be in that transition. We're going into that transition of stable and steady growth, and we're going to continue to do the work that the president has laid out to lower inflation. And so part of that is letting the Federal Reserve do their part, they have the strongest monetary policies to really deal with this. We're not going to speak to that. We're going to let them be independent. But the way that we're seeing this is we are on a track to have that transition to be in that stable growth.
So we're transitory, you guys. It's just a transitory thing.
Again. And it's because of the work that Joe Biden has done for the past year and a half. It's because of all that work, you guys.
Such great work.
Kind of like the work that Kamala has done. I mean, they've just done so much work to get us here. Yeah, because look at where we were 2 years ago, 3 years ago, right, as opposed to now. Like, look at where gas prices were two, three years ago, as opposed to now. Look at all the work they've done to get us here. God, screw them.
God, where? Oh my God. Okay, totally switching gears. Elon Musk, a couple things about Elon Musk. First of all, the Twitter thing is continuing to move forward. He had a town hall with the entire Twitter team just yesterday or the day before. And Project Veritas actually got some leaked audio from that, which we'll get to in a second. But first, he is being sued for almost $260 billion. It's a class action lawsuit because of that meme crypto that he was kind of behind, I guess last year, Dogecoin, which he literally just created out of thin air, and then it became a thing. And so now, because crypto is doing so badly all across the board, now there's this class action lawsuit against him, which could set the unholiest, worst precedent of all time. If this lawsuit actually succeeded, because essentially it's saying Elon Musk is so influential and so powerful and so popular and followed by so many that when he jokes about something that people take seriously and they're stupid enough to actually invest in it, then it becomes his personal fault that people are dumb, which that's a bad precedent to set.
Yeah, but it's a real bad precedent. Yeah.
I'm going to let this news guy that knows a lot more about it explain it better than I just did.
And, you know, he basically says that he and others like him, so you can imagine he's going to be the lead plaintiff in what is going to wind up being a big class action, essentially lost about $86 billion over the course of Dogecoin's existence. It was invented in part as a joke, and its co-founders basically said that it was based on something called the greater fool theory, that you could pass on the idea of it to other people who are greater fools than you are. They literally referenced that in the lawsuit filed in federal court. And now the question is going to be whether the long litany of promotional tweets and SNL appearances and all the places in which Elon Musk pushed Dogecoin as laid out in this lawsuit wind up being linked to him as having been essentially him promoting something that, as the lawsuit points out, is utterly worthless, has no cash value, is tied to nothing of value, and is based here on this greater fool theory, Hallie.
Yeah, I'll be interested to see how this one pans out.
It's really scary because think about how that could play out even for like a satire site like Babylon Bee. If Babylon Bee writes an article and says, like, makes up some story about whatever. And like enough people take it seriously that they make an important decision based on that story. Well, are we going to see the end of satire because people are idiots? I mean, it's a legit concern.
I feel like we're already seeing the end of satire. In fact, my whack today, when we get to my whack, it's a story that was sent to us, and I'm not even sure that it's true. So that's one of the things that we're going to talk about today. So
okay,
stay tuned.
Okay.
So stay tuned for that. Yeah.
Stay tuned for that indeed.
Right.
In the meantime, we'll show the clip from Project Veritas. It's funny because as soon as this was starting to go around on Twitter, people were posting it and saying, oh, you know, Project Veritas has shared this leaked audio, this leaked video from Elon Musk's Twitter town hall. And Elon Musk responded to it and just said, yep. Yeah, like totally. Thumbs up. I mean, there's nothing in it that's, oh my God, Elon Musk said what? Everything in here is already known. So I don't know what the big reveal is, but you can watch and decide for yourself.
It's essential to have a free speech and to be able to communicate, communicate freely if there are multiple opinions, but, you know, and just make sure that we're not sort of driving a narrative. In order for people to have trust in Twitter, I think it's extremely important that there be transparency. I think Twitter, in terms of like serious issues, can be a lot better in informing people about serious issues. How many times have the media gotten it right? Well, I would say almost never. Not never, but almost never.
Can we talk briefly about your political views?
Well, my political views, I think, are moderate. I'm in favor of moderate politics, but allowing people who have relatively extreme views to express those views within the bounds of the law. You know, it's free speech within the context of the law. So it's not, I'm not definitely not suggesting that we, just flout the law, because we'll get shut down in that case. And I think there's also this freedom of speech and freedom of reach. So I think people should be allowed to say, you know, pretty outrageous things that are within the bounds of the law, but then they don't, you know, it doesn't get amplified. It doesn't get, you know, a ton of reach. I think an important goal for Twitter would be to try to include as much of the country, as much of the world as possible. So the things that I've said about Twitter, I think, need to happen in order for it to be, to really go to the next level. I mean, I think like the potential is there for Twitter to have be accessible to an order of magnitude more people. Let's say the far left 10% and far right 10% were equally upset on Twitter, then that would probably be a good outcome. The standard is much more than not offending people. The standard should be that they're very entertained and informed.
So that's that.
So it's interesting because when he was asked about his political views, I heard yesterday that he was talking about he wants to start a whole other party that's just a moderate party. Like in the middle, where they took ideas from the left and they took ideas from the right. And I was like, yeah, I don't know how I feel about that. You know what I mean? Because then what that does is it just, because I've never been the kind of person where I feel like that is an okay place to stand, is right in the middle. I feel like you have to take a stand. I feel like you have to believe in something. And when you stand in the middle, I feel like you don't believe in anything. You just are standing in the middle and you're sort of ambiguous and you're like, well, I mean, you're squishy. If you stand in the middle, I believe that you're squishy. You got to stand for something or you basically fall for anything. Isn't that what the saying is? Maybe I'm saying that wrong. Or you stand for nothing if you don't stand for something. So you have to, in this day and age, you got to pick a side. I mean, I hate to say it, but you have to. You feel like at least now you're going to lean one way or the other. I feel like you're leaning one way or the other. And I think Elon is just afraid to say it. I think he's afraid to say, I probably lean more right now than I do left. Maybe he just is afraid
to
say that.
No, he has said that. He has said it because he has specifically said that the left has gotten so crazy. And so I totally agree with you to an extent, because I think what he's trying to do, and maybe this isn't the best way to do it, but I think what he means to do is to have a party that actually represents people who aren't extreme either way. Because so many of us are like not, we're not Marjorie Taylor Greene and we're not AOC. We're somewhere right. like closer to the middle. So it's not that we don't have, you know, like solid viewpoints on the right or the left, but we're just not crazy. And I think he's looking for a middle ground kind of party. And we're just, it seems like candidates get more and more extreme. And I think that's what he's worried about. And I totally get that. You know what
yeah,
I mean?
Yeah, I hear you, but you can be conservative and not extreme.
Right, exactly.
Cause we're that. I think there's a lot of us that are like that. And so I think you can say that without saying that you're in the middle, because I'm not in the middle.
Yeah.
I'm not in the middle. I'm definitely right. I'm not a whack job either. And I think it's okay. And I think it's okay to be able to say that out loud and say it proudly. And I think far too many people are afraid to say that these days. And far too many people are, when I say they're afraid, they are frightened to say it these days, because we've been pushed in a way where, like, we've heard it from people who are on college campuses who literally are afraid to say it because they're afraid that they're going to get a bad grade. They're going to get shunned by people that they love and that they know. I mean, it's like, it's become a taboo thing to be able to say, hi, I'm a conservative, because it's not cool. It's like, dude, I'm on the right and I'm okay with saying that. And if you don't like it, that's tough, you know, up yours. It's like, I am not a whack job. I'm a conservative. Period. Mm-hmm. And he needs to be okay with saying that if he's leaning to the right. It's okay to say that. Don't apologize yeah. for it, you know?
Yeah. I wanted to remind you that part of the news is this ridiculous Amy Klobuchar antitrust bill. It's Senate Bill 2992. And
Chihuahua.
Amy Klobuchar. Chihuahua is really trying to push this. And it's a terrible idea because, again, when government tries to get involved in anything, it's always a terrible idea. But especially this, where it's the government once again choosing who wins and who loses and setting up different rules that apply to people and businesses differently. It's all a bunch of nonsense. And what it could actually ultimately lead to are things that are really super convenient, like the fact that you get Prime delivery from Amazon, or the fact that you can see maps and reviews at the top of a search that you do for any item or anything on Google. Those things would go away. Prices would increase it would raise costs and end the services that a lot of us are super accustomed to, just because Amy thinks, well, we need to get our paws, our grubby little government paws, on how businesses operate and decide that there's rules that will apply to big companies that may not apply to small companies, but which will end up causing huge problems for the small companies. You can read all about it at netchoice.org/2992. And it's great because it brings you up like a little email contact form that automatically will send a letter to your representative to say, can you please stop this ridiculous shaking Chihuahua Klobuchar bill? It doesn't say that exactly. I'm paraphrasing.
You should totally say that. You should say that. Yeah.
But you should check it out. netchoice.org/2992. You guys. All right. So it is time for your sack of whack. What you got?
Okay. So if somebody sent this story to me, it's this story, they encourage women to smell their poop to be more inclusive to trans women. This is a story. Okay.
What are you saying?
Yeah. I don't know what I'm saying. Like, I don't know what this is crazy town, right? So I got this, and it's written by an individual named Jamie Bronstein, okay? So I started looking into the story because I'm like, what's happening? Like, this is crazy. I don't even want to talk about this, okay? That's how whack it is. Apparently, like, this is what it says. It says, some women have a hole where their penis used to be. I hope there are no kids in the room, you guys. Like, I should have said, hide your kids.
Hide your wives.
Hide everybody. Some women have a hole where their penis used to be, and that hole often shares microbiome with the colon, creating a distinct transitioning odor. Okay, so they say, in solidarity with trans women, this month you can make a difference by putting your olfactory system to use while going number two. So this is what... So they're encouraging women. This is what this says. I know. They say, yes, it's not a joke. We're asking all women to please spend more time smelling your poo during bathroom breaks and to critically examine what many of our gender have to endure as part of the cost of bottom surgery. Okay. So I started looking into this. And I'm like, this is for real. Like, this is, seriously, these people are whack. This is crazy. Okay. So it's all over the place. People are sharing it. People, you know, people like us, normal people are losing their minds. Going, this is just such, these people are insane, which they are. I mean, they're insane. But then it's written by this person named Jamie Bronstein. But then I found on one site, somebody saying that this is actually a joke because they're trying to get conservatives to lose their minds. They're trying to bait us into to being like, these people are nuts. There is a, but this person, this Jamie Bronstein, wrote once upon a time an article that said, encourage men to pee, men to pee to be more inclusive of trans men. I don't know, encourage men to pee sitting down to be more inclusive of trans men. So he wrote another, or she, I don't know if Jamie's a man or woman, but this Jamie Bronstein wrote another article that was similar to this. And so, and I think that one was in fact a real article. So I don't know if this is satire or if it's true, but I'm putting that out there because these days everything is so crazy.
Right.
I don't know what to believe, you guys. I don't know if this is an actual story or if it's not, because I read that it was true and then I read that it wasn't true. So you have to research this stuff sometimes just to see, like, are these people, because they are whack. I mean, yeah, I truly, these people are whack. But then at the same time, sometimes they write this stuff just to bait us. You know what I mean?
Right, right.
And so that's why I wanted to point that out, is because we live in a weird, strange, crazy,
yes,
insane world. And that's what's happening. And that is your whack today.
Well, and there was one line of that you read that really stuck out. And that was like, you know,
just you one, need to empathize. Just one mark.
Well, you need to empathize with what we have to endure when we get bottom surgery. No one's making you do that. No one is telling you to undergo a radical body transformation. That is all on you. Like, they're acting, yes, as though they're forced into this horrible body mutilation by,
right,
I don't even know who. That's a voluntary, that's on you.
Right. Well, that's a great point. But see, a lot of those folks believe that it is like an affliction, like it's forced upon them, that they're forced in another body, like a body, a foreign body that's not theirs. You know what I mean? So it's just, anyways, it's very interesting. It's all whack. I shake my head at this stuff and I'm just like, this is what's floating around the web, right? This is what we see. So it could be true. It could be satire. I honestly don't know, but that was sent to me and for our whack today. And I thought I'd share that with you guys because it is whack.
It's
but
whack.
It also could be satire and somebody trying to bait us. So there you go.
Yeah, there it is.
Happy Friday.
The chance for nuclear war increases every day that the war in Ukraine continues. I'm Bill Walton. On the latest edition of The Bill Walton Show, national security expert Brandon Weikert and I also discuss how China is weaker than Russia in one key area, why Taiwan's defenses are dangerously weak, and how Joe Biden wants to make the same mistake with Iran that we did with China. Follow The Bill Walton Show at Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I know, we'll be back to normal next week, sort of. Not until Wednesday, though, right? Like Wednesday.
Right.
Is
so Monday will be normal time, but I'll still be here. And then Tuesday there will be no daily video, and then Wednesday will be like legit back to normal.
Tuesday's a travel day. Okay, so you got all weekend long. Are you doing college visits this weekend?
Yeah.
Are you doing that?
So Saturday, my son has a lacrosse showcase that he's participating in at one of the colleges that he's interested in, and then Sunday is more college visits. And then Monday, we're going to try to just chill and like do absolutely nothing before we travel back on Tuesday.
That is so fun. Well, good luck on all the college stuff this weekend. We wish him all the good mojo, good luck. That's awesome.
Yay.
Very, 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 very fun stuff. Bring it in, you guys. Bring it in. Oh, God. Here comes Astrid. Astrid's trying to maul me. She's trying to... already.
She knows.
God. You're trying to maul me? I know. All right. You guys have a fantastic weekend, and we will talk to you on Monday.
Bye.
Bye, everybody. Bye.
we need to talk about our friends at Acre Gold really quickly because we like doing it. It's just a nice way to hedge against inflation and kind of build your portfolio and have some diversity in it. All you have to do is visit getacregold.com/chicks. You can start investing right away. And if you tweet or post at @get_acre, you have a chance to win a free gold bar. All you have to do is just say, here's why I should be the winner. And then you very well may be the winner. So it's getacregold.com/chicks.
A Texas congressional race is further evidence of a massive shift of Latino voters to the Republicans. There's a surge of Black Americans buying guns to protect themselves as crime rates soar, and Border Patrol agents will be punished for a whipping incident that never even happened. I'm Greg Corumbus. Join Jim Garrity of National Review and me each weekday for the 3 Martini Lunch podcast. We'll give you the good, bad, and crazy news of the day for conservatives, and hopefully a lot of laughs too. Follow the 3 Martini Lunch on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.